Hello, this is the Daily Tech, and I'm going to be sharing some more tech news with you. It's going to be really interesting, so do stick around till the end and you'll be able to hear it all. Also, if you're on YouTube, do click the subscribe button. If you're on anything like Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, then do click the at follow or heart button. That way, you'll all be able to see the latest tech news, which is daily. Also, all the articles I do talk about will be linked in the description. But now let's get right into the tech news. So the first article is by TechRadar. The NVIDIA RTX 3060 and RTX 3050 Ti, which I haven't talked about much, could soon be here. Are GTX graphics cards getting killed off? That's the main part we're going to be talking about GTX cards. Are they still going to be kind of a thing? So NVIDIA could have GeForce RTX 3060 and 3050 Ti graphics cards waiting in the wings, which will be built around the new GPU, a GA106, as previously rumoured. This is according to a well-known leaker, Zopaitse Kimi, who shared this fresh GPU rumour on Twitter. And as ever, remember this is just speculation, so it might be false or it might never happen. So the RTX 3050 Ti would represent a new move for Nvidia, having a lower-end card with ray tracing. So one possible that this raises is that the most possibility that it raises is that GTX products could have been abandoned, and that all Ampere offerings will come with dedicated ray tracing cores, which is what RTX designation indicates. As you're probably aware, away from the higher end Ampere cards, which have already been launched, all we've been hearing about in recent times is rumored RTX 3060 Ti, which is based on the GA104 GPU, which is the same chip used in the RTX 3070, but it will be cut down. So naturally, it makes sense that there'll be an RTX 3060. Indeed, it's normally the case that the vanilla version launches first, not Ti spin. What's really interesting is RTX 3050 Ti pop-up at this point, which, as mentioned, is a major departure for Nvidia. So going by the leak, the RTX 3060 will run with 3840 CUDA cores, as compared to 4864 for the RTX 3060 Ti, at least according to the buzz on Grapevine. And the RTX 3050 Ti won't be far off the 3060 with 3584 CUDA cores. So the GA106 will supposedly run on 192-bit memory bus, so that points to a memory loadout of 6GB for the RTX 3060. Remember that the RTX 3060 Ti rumor theorizes it will be equipped with 8GB of GDDR6. So 2GB less, but 6GB is still alright. So it would be nice to have 8GB, it probably won't happen. There'll obviously be some difference between the 3060 and 3050 Ti graphics cards, and given that the core count are seemingly pretty close, that may come on the memory front. So video cards also reckons that we can expect a RTX 3060 in January 2021 at the same time as the RTX 3050 Ti, which will be set to arrive later in January, or perhaps February. There are also plans for a vanilla RTX 3050, which again reinforces that the GTX bins are no longer around or going to be out. The speculation holds that the next Ampere GP we'll see from Nvidia will be the RTX 3060 Ti, then the 3060, and then the 3050 Ti, and then kind of it'll be kind of that order, or maybe at the same time, stuff like that. So this does quite severely reinforce that the GTX cards are probably dead now. Like, they're not going to be sold, they're not going to be made, it'll be RTX only. We might see a new brand above RTX, but I'm not sure, probably not right now, and probably not for a few years. Which is interesting, killing off GTX is definitely an interesting move. GTX cards are really popular, but with these RTX cards that we're expecting and the prices that we'll be doing, supporting will be very similar to GTX cards, so it wouldn't be any point in keeping GTX cards around. So yeah, ray tracing across the board on Nvidia and RTX cards. So that is really interesting. I think GTX cards may die, which is a bit of a shame. GTX cards are quite popular, but at least everything will have ray tracing, I guess. For the next tech news, we're going to TechRadar again. So the AMD Radeon RX 6800 XT might run into the same RTX 3080 stock issues, which we don't want to see. So it's no secret at this point that no matter how excellent the AMD RTX, the NVIDIA RTX 3080 and the RTX 3090 are, it is almost impossible to find them. And it looks like the new AMD Big Navy graphics cards might run into the same fate, which you really didn't want to see. This comes from a since-deleted post on Swedish hardware forum, Swedclockers, and spotted by the folks over at WCCF Tech. So where a supposed representative of ASUS hinted at the AMD Radeon RX 6800 XT. So as with basically your graphics cards now, we'll start within minutes, just like the NVIDIA Ampere cards before them. The forum post also gives an idea of when we can expect third-party versions of the RDNA 2 graphics cards. Apparently, aftermarket boards will arrive a couple weeks after the initial November 18th launch date. But as you've seen with every other GPU launch over the last couple of months, those will also probably fully sell out too. So this comes after AMD has reportedly issued guidelines to retailers specifically to avoid the same kind of hardware shortage fiasco that NVIDIA went through with the RTX 3080 launch in September. However, it looks like the AMD Ryzen 5000 processors have already sold out and are showing up for hugely inflated prices, according to a report from Hot Hardware, which I was expecting anyway. It's clear that PC hardware is experiencing incredibly high demand, with especially the new stuff, as everyone is still trying to spend time indoors, and playing best PC games at 4K is a pretty excellent way to do that. Either we don't know if the RX 6800 XT hardware availability is going to look like that until, well, it's actually available and then not available. So this is also why we can't have deals on Black Friday for things like graphics cards, or the best ones anyway. But they're selling out left and right, they're just not existing at their regular price. And sometimes even for a higher price, so it wouldn't make sense to drop the price. I mean, it probably won't exist on kind of Black Friday times anyway, because it just won't. So hopefully it does not run into the same stock issue. If it does, that will be a bit of a shame, but I have a feeling that it might. But I also think it might not. It is. Depends how much stock they've made. If we could find that out, then we'd know. But yeah, hopefully they don't run out of stock. So, next article is by Gizmochina. So Amazon discounts Razer 5G to $999 even, and Motorola Edge to $399. So the Motorola Razr 5G packs some significant upgrades over its predecessor, but the foldable phone is still quite expensive when compared to other foldable phones such as the Galaxy Z Flip 5G, and even non-foldable phones. However, now may be the best time to pick up one, as the prices have been slashed by quite a bit. So as you can see from the image here, so as seen on the retail giant's US site, the Motorola Razr 5G 2020 version can be purchased for just $999. That's $400 off the retail price, and that is a huge discount. The phone is available unlocked, so you can use it with any major US carriers. It can be purchased in blush gold, liquid mercury, and polished graphite. I think it's really cool how it's got a $400 discount. That's quite a lot. You're getting a foldable phone for quite a lot less. And if foldable doesn't appeal to you, but you still want a 5G Motorola smartphone, the Motorola Edge is also heavily discounted on Motorola's official site and Amazon. So the phone launched for $699, and it can now just be picked up for $399. That is even cheaper than the newly announced Moto One 5G, that's priced at $444, and it's 4 gigs of RAM and 128 gigabytes of storage. So the Edge is recommended by over the Razr 5G, as it's not only the same processor but packs more cameras and bigger battery, and it's just a bit more reliable at this time. Like 90Hz refresh rate it's also got. So yeah, you're getting a really good discount with both of these phones. If you need the time to buy either of these two phones, then this is the time. Obviously these are some incredibly big discounts. Next article is by Glitched. So the Sony Bravia X900H 4K 120Hz mode does suffer from a blur issue. So this Sony TV is not performing the 4K 120Hz as promised, which is obviously not good for the people buying this TV and the console, generally what you'll use of a TV, and it not working as I would want to. So there's been a lot of talks online about the Sony Bravia X900 or X90H, and its 4K 120Hz mode. So previous reports claimed that the TV is not performing that well when users enabled the setting and tested it out for compatible RTX card. However, now that the Xbox Series X and S reviews embargoes have dropped, you can now find out the performance on this TV. So given that the fact that both the Xbox Series X and S support 4K 120Hz, it was ideal to perform these tests on the Xbox Series X, given it is more powerful. Also, I believe the Xbox Series S doesn't support 4K 120 in games, but that I'm not sure about that. It might do. I thought it could only do like 1440p at 120, but it might be 4K 120. I know it can stream stuff at that, but yeah. But of course, you would test on the Series X anyway. Glitched updated the Sony Bravia X900H a week ago by manually downloading the update file and installing it. So in case you want to jump the gun on the update, if you go into this article from the description, there's a link right at the end of that. So enabling the setting is quick and easy. The TV can switch to its HDMI 2.1 enhanced mode by going to settings, watching TV, external inputs, HDMI signal format, enhanced format. If your Sony Bravia X900H does not give you these three options, including standard form, enhanced format, and enhanced format Dolby Vision, then your TV is not updated to the latest version 6.0384 firmware. And you need to be able to do that. So, Gears 5 at 4K 120. Gears 5 only supports 4K 120 in the multiplayer mode, as this is enabled in the options of the game under video. So you try to capture the text from the game mode, as that seems to be the biggest concern with the TV adopters. The image you can see though, out close as possible, so you can see kind of what's the picture quality. So you can see from the images that there's definitely an issue with the blur on TV. That's quite obvious. This is present throughout the 4K 120Hz mode. Text is by far the easiest thing to notice. There's a distinct lack of sharpness to it. But the issue seems to stem into the entire experience. A closer look at the character models, you can see the difference too. In the image down below, you can see the lackness of sharpness in the shoulder plates, which you can definitely see if you compare the two images here. But you see how much sharper that is compared to that is. And then if you take like the tip of the weapon, where the image, you can really see how bad that is. So it doesn't matter, from a really decent distance you never really notice it, just because obviously you're further away, but when you got closer, then you do notice it. I think if you know it's there, you notice it more. Someone else also asked about the Xbox Series X dashboard. They did not see any drop in quality across the two models. It seems to be exclusive to games, which is interesting. It's not great how this TV is having some issues with the 120Hz mode. Obviously, it's not great. You're paying quite a bit for the TV and you're paying quite a bit for the console. You want it all to perform well. But of course, through updates, they should be able to fix all of this. But it will take a bit of time. Also, is that just me or does that stand seem a bit thin for the TV? Doesn't look very... It looks like it's just on two frames. That's just all I can see. Yeah. They should be able to fix that through software. Next article by Gizmo China. Oppo under-display camera phone prototype leaks yet again. So in December last year, Oppo first showcased an under-display camera phone prototype during its Future Technology Conference 2019, which is held in Shenzhen, China. A prototype has yet leaked, said to be that of the Oppo smartphone bearing under-display camera technology. The under-display camera technology was first utilised by ZTE on the AX125G, which was announced a couple of months back, and I talked about it. The phone is a mid-range model designed to test the waters. So the feedback has been very impressive, especially as the selfie camera quality turned out to be very low. or below par. Apple may likely improve on that, and they probably will. The device features a notchless full screen design, which is really nice. The camera embedded under the screen. The redesign wasn't shown, but an earlier patent filing by Oppo shows the device will pack a circular camera design at the back. Presently, the only Oppo model that has such a camera design is the Ace 2. Thus, the under-screen phone may launch as the Oppo Ace 3, which would make sense. So, Xiaomi is also working on under-screen technology as well, but we don't expect the Xiaomi's home model to arrive until next year. The same goes for Oppo, so we might see quite a few smartphones with under-screen camera technology next year, which is going to be really cool. It's going to look so good. And then most phones will probably start adopting it, because you kind of sort of have the notch and the, what do you call it, the hole punch. So it's probably going to happen like that, which hopefully it does, because, I mean, under-display cameras and the look of the screen afterwards is so good. Next article by 9to5 Google. So OnePlus Watch reportedly won't be using Google's Wear OS, which is interesting. So OnePlus has been rumored to working on a smartwatch for years now, like 5 years or something like that, but the project never came to fruition. The evidence is stronger for a OnePlus watch hitting the market soon, but surprisingly it won't be on Google's Wear OS platform. So Max J, a fairly reliable OnePlus tipster, claims that the OnePlus watch will not be using Wear OS, a bit of a shock given the company's tight ties with Google and the Android platform. So generally speaking, Wear OS is the de facto platform for smartwatch makers who don't have the resources to craft their own wearable platform from scratch. Brands such as like Fossil and Movoy are the most notable for using Wear OS, but even Oppo uses it in regions outside of China. So what's the plan for the OnePlus Watch? Well, right now we're not entirely sure. So obviously the product will still pair up with the company's Android smartphones, which it's obvious. But without Wear OS, there's no indication of what kind of operating system OnePlus will be using in its first smartwatch. Oppo and Xiaomi have used forks of Android, and Huawei uses Barebones OS for its popular wearables too. So they did clarify to 9to5 Google that Wear OS won't be on this watch at all, not even a modified skin version, like a whole new OS kind of thing. So the OnePlus watch is currently expected to release sometime next year, delayed from its previous expected launch date of last month, because obviously that never happened. So so I don't know. If the OS is good, then it'll be fine, but I feel like Wear OS is more reliable at this time, but we don't know what they've been doing. They could have been working on this OS for ages now, we just haven't known about it, which I think is highly possible. So we'll find out when they release it soon, and that's when we'll know about the software. Right now, this is all just speculation. They could still be using it. It's possible. Next up, again by 9to5 Google. Google Stadia may soon officially support Safari on iOS 14. So since its launch nearly a year ago, Stadia has only been officially available on Android, web, and Chromecast. It appears Stadia still may soon pick up on iPhone and iPad, its first additional platforms, with new code pointing to official support for Safari on iOS 14. So considering that Stadia has an official web app, it may seem surprising that iOS has not been supported that way. It was actually because when Stadia first launched, the version of Safari was bundled with iOS 13, didn't have necessarily web features to run Stadia well. Well, with iOS 14, that has changed, as alternate browsers still based on WebKit like Safari, like Stadium, have proven. The main thing that these apps still need to do, however, is change the user agent. The way a browser identifies itself to the websites. To disguise itself in the desktop version of Google Chrome, the step is necessary because Stadia's web app currently only officially supports Google Chrome on Windows, macOS, and ChromeOS, and Linux. That's going to be really good to get it on iPhones and iPads, which obviously you would want. It's going to be really good, especially if you have maybe you can't have an older iPad, but if you have a old one that's still supported and you want to play games, or even new ones and you want to play games, then this is obviously a really good way. I released it. As long as you've got a good internet connection, it should be fine. Of course, if you don't, then you can't really play this, but this isn't an option. Next article by Mac Rumors. Apple launches iPhone 12 Studio for mixing and matching MagSafe cases and wallets. So Apple today launched a new iPhone 12 Studio page accessible on the web and on mobile devices like iPhone and iPad. This allows you to customize iPhone 12 models with various MagSafe cases and wallets to see how the color combinations look. Obviously, because you can't go to the stores to test it in England anyway, so nice that they got this option. After loading the page, the first step is to choose between what model of iPhone. Then you can scroll down to personalize the iPhone by choosing a color for the device, choosing a MagSafe case and color, and choosing a MagSafe wallet and color. You can name and save a photo of it, so you can obviously save it so you know what you want if you go back to that one. So Apple is promoting it on Twitter as well. I think it's just really good to be able to look at it on your phone, see what you might like the combination of. And finally today, best gaming accessories to give as holiday gifts, seeing as we're getting close to that time now. So the first one is the Backbone One, which is the iPhone game controller. So it's amazing how good this lightning connected controller from startup Backbone is compared to the alternatives. It turns any iPhone 6s or later products of the iOS version into a Nintendo Switch style gaming experience. We've added smarts for social and chatty gamers. One big drawback is, from a gift standpoint, you can only buy it through the iPhone app, which is obviously a bit of an issue, seeing as you'd have to like download the app, buy it, and then like, yeah. But it's, yeah, so that's one option. I'm not going to read the full things, just because obviously take too long. So next up is the Glorious PC Gaming Race, Mice and Keyboards. With budget price points, but better than budget build quality and features, this line of mice and keyboards have come highly recommended. So the mice come in two sizes, which is rare, because hands aren't one size fits all. The minus models are smaller sizes, which obviously makes sense. The keyboards are swappable switches, which is obviously nice. Before you buy a keyboard, check with your giftie to find out what type of switches they prefer, because you've got like brown, blue, red, stuff like that. And next up, HyperX Alloy Origin or Origin Core Keyboard. So the HyperX Alloy Origin is a 10 keyless sibling, and the Alloy Origin Core are the great streamlined gaming keyboards and will only run about $100. There are no discrete media controls, but the function keys are marked out for media controls as well as a game mode, so you can disable a Windows key and certain key combos while gaming, which is obviously really nice. So yeah, so the Brady cable is removable. And since it's USB-C, you can easily plug it in without looking, which is obviously nice. Plus, the rear flip-down legs give you a free keyboard angles to work out, which is nice. And then the SteelSeries Rival Free Mouse. So at $30, it's surprisingly decent for the money. Nice and ergonomic, 6-button mouse, 72 grams, and it uses the company's TrueMove Core sensor with a 8500 CPI and one-to-one tracking for precise movement. This wide mouse uses the same switches as the $120 Rival 650 mouse, and while the buttons require a little more force than others, it still has a fair amount of configuration and it's still very nice. Next up, Logitech G920 or G29 racing wheels. If you just want racing wheels, these are obviously a good choice. Around $200 range, they're going to be really good. Next up, Razer Black Shark V2 headsets. So there's a Black Shark V2 headset for every budget, starting with the V2X at $60, through to the V2 Pro at $180 wireless as well. There are some of the most comfortable headsets, lightweight and not too head squeezy, with excellent sound. They work with consoles through 3.5mm headphone jacks. If you have the budget, obviously you'd go for the $100 Black Shark V2. It's got some nice touches, USB dongle, removable mic, braided cable. Some gaming chairs by Secret Lab, comfortable, nice. The Nexus Link, that's done really, I'll say about it. But yeah, so, if you want some gifts, these are some good ideas. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, leave a like if you're on YouTube. There's not really much you can do on anything else. Also leave a comment if there's any tech news I missed or any tech news you want me to talk about in the next episode. But apart from that, have a good day.